promise of heaven. It is yea, it is amen. Friend, in a world that mocks at it, in a world that laughs at it, in a world that says it ain't so, heaven is more real than the seat you're sitting in today. One day that seat's going to wear out pretty fast. But the Lord's promised a new heaven and a new earth for us. You know, we really don't know everything that's in store for us. And everything down here is just really just to kind of get us on board, isn't it? And throughout all of eternity, we'll be able to be with Him. What a glorious, glorious thought. I tell you, you don't want to miss it. Amen. Again, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for having us this week. God bless you. Psalms 23, verse number 1, God's Word, it reads like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Verse number 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In our text today, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. So for this final message from us this week, I think I'd just like to preach on for a little while simply on this thought. When we all get to heaven. Oh, what a glorious day of rejoicing that'll be. Father, we ask you to simply have your way. Touch us in this house today, God. Let your word go forth with free course. Touch every word spoken, said, and done. May it bring you divine glory. And may our hearts, God, be heaven-minded, heavenly-minded. May our hearts, God, be focused on the things of eternity. May we hold light to the things of this world and hold tight to the things in the world to come. And for this, we give you glory and honor and praise. In the lovely name of Jesus, we do pray. And everyone said, amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I want to see you in heaven. Amen. Now, would you agree with this statement today? I think it would be easy enough to agree with. Satan has no happy old sinners. Now, I've seen them young. I've seen them just boy. I mean, they've got the tiger by the tail. They think they've got everything under control. Everything's going their way. The wind's to their back. And I'm telling you, it's bright days ahead. But how many of you know that's short-lived at best? One day they look in the mirror and all they're left with is sin and sorrow and sickness and regret and pain and suffering. But for the child of God, it's different, beloved. For the child of God, it's going to get better and better and better. I can assure you, if you have experienced any sorrow, any sickness, any suffering, it will only be on this side of eternity. And likewise, the opposite of that is true for the lost soul. If he has experienced any happiness, if he has experienced any reprieve of joy, it will only be on this side of eternity. Beloved, there is no better investment you could make than to lay up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves don't enter in, nor do they steal. Can you say amen? I'm glad that I found the truth of heaven. I'm glad that I found the truth of God's word. We spoke about it this week. Prophecy itself, amen, is one proof that we can see that God's word is infallible and it is inerrant. It's not happenstance. It's not coincidence. It's not something you can just cross your fingers and say, I think so, maybe so. When we line out God's word, we see it as God breathed, it is inspired, and beloved, if Genesis 3 is true, then that lets me know that John chapter 3 is true, and I'm glad to know I've been born again by the blood of the Lamb because of the mercy of Jesus. Can you say amen? Praise God. For the child of God, it gets better and better. Remember this principle. Satan always gives his best up front. Whatever the best it is, he gives you that up front. The bitterness always follows. Beloved, Proverbs 20 and 17 says it like this. Bread of deceit is sweet to man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. I mean, honestly, what does an old atheist look forward to? Just another day of sorrow? Just another day of pain? I mean, you know, and then when that's finished, you just kind of become worm food, you know, that's all there is to it. That's not how the child of God thinks. Beloved, in our darkest time, in our most deepest suffering, there's something on the inside of a child of God that says there's a brighter day tomorrow and there's something to look forward to. This is not how it's always going to be. The Lord has prepared a table for the child of God, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. You remember the story? Here, Jesus, he's at that wedding feast, and you know how it is. I mean, they usually have the first fruit of the vine out there, and after that's gone, you know, then something worse comes. But all of a sudden, Jesus takes this water, amen, and by the miraculous touch of the living God, he turns that into that fresh fruit of that vine. And the captain, the magistrate over that wedding says, "You save the best for last," because that's always what Jesus does. He looks at you and me. He says, if you'll learn to suffer with me here, you will reign with me there. If you'll sacrifice here, there will be a steadfast home for you there. Beloved, the children of God have something to look forward to. Praise God. Doesn't matter what elections happen. Doesn't matter what laws may pass. For the child of God, he holds light here. He holds tight there. We always have something to look forward to. Friend, this world is not my home. I'm only passing through. My treasures are laid up, somebody say it, somewhere beyond the blue. Thank you, Jesus. I think I said it last year. I'll say it this year. I'll never forget. Many years ago, there was Brother Clendenin preaching on that radio program. And sure enough, he walks into that bank the next morning. And that banker happens to look over and he says, "Excuse me." He says, "Reverend, can I have a word with you?" And sure enough, he goes over there. He says, "Are you that preacher on that radio that was preaching about tribulation times, doom and gloom, you know, all this catastrophe coming upon this world?" And Brother Clendenin told me, he said, I smiled. He said, "Yes, sir, that was me." The banker looked at me and said, "How can you talk about all the gloom and destruction coming to this world and still have a smile on your face?" Brother Clendenin looked back at me and said, "Oh, sir," he said, "excuse me, I was talking about your world, not mine." Amen. Pray God. It's going to get bad for this world. But thank God that's not my world. I am the pilgrim in this world. Amen. I am the alien in this society. We're not accepted by this society, but thank God we are accepted into heaven's home. Say amen to me, somebody. Beloved, hear me this morning. I'll say these things quickly, as quick as I can, that is, wink, wink, and move out of the way. But I just want to simply leave you with these few thoughts this morning. Number one, the certainty of heaven. It's not a guess, the certainty. The Bible says this, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. It's not a happenstance. It's not just a cross your fingers hope. It's not a maybe, maybe not. There is a real place prepared for you and me. It's enough to worth the, it's enough to worship God over. Amen. The Bible said this, and it was stated so well in Sunday school class, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so." Jesus himself said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus would not have allowed the hope of heaven to begin to beat in your heart just to take it away from you. He did not lift you up to let you down. Friend, there is a certainty of heaven. And by God's grace, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I mean that. Brother, that's just, you really think that, now listen, amen, I know it's amazing. The more multicultural America wants to be, the more multi-spiritual America thinks she has to become. And we've kind of almost accepted this karmic idea of just kind of cyclical life. You know, you live and then you die again. You live and die again and live and die and live and die over and over and just get reincarnated. I mean, you finally get to be a good enough person. You're reincarnated as a cow. That's not the biblical mindset. It's not this revolving door. It's a linear path. It's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. You don't get to make it up again. The best thing you can do now is make sure your calling and election is sure. Make sure your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Make sure you're ready should the Lord come right now and you might have a place in heaven. Glory to God. Brother, that's just you really, listen, listen to what Scripture says. Paul speaks of this, 2 Corinthians 12:2. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Now, that's Paul's humble way of saying, oh, by the way, that's me. I knew a man in Christ 14 years ago, whether in the body, whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such as one called up into the third heaven. Paul says, I was able to go to that third heaven. Now, here's an amazing thought. When John has a revelation of heaven, he shows us things that he sees. He sees streets of gold. He sees walls of jasper. He sees these gates of pearl. Whenever Paul gets a vision of heaven, he doesn't tell us what he sees, but he does mention what he hears. And he says, you know what? It was so amazing. It is unlawful for me to even write about what I heard. John says, man, did you see it? Paul says, man, did you hear it? It was glorious. I don't know everything that's involved in heaven, but all I know is there'll never be a day you shrug your shoulders and get bored with the glory world ahead. Amen. Now, with that first heaven, what's that first heaven, Brother Esther? That first heaven, that's that beautiful blue sky that you see every morning here in Montana, unless there's a wildfire. Hallelujah. Easy, easy. Sorry, I have to pray through over bitterness. I know, hey, man, I've been called back home. I said, you ain't going to believe this. Government-funded arsonist. I can't handle it. Oh, God, pray for him. Sorry. That's not my message. Thank you. God bless you. God sees that hand, Brother Nathan. The Lord sees your heart. Amen. It's not my message today. Sorry. Long story, Brother Woolley. We'll fill you in later. The first heaven's that beautiful blue sky. We see that by day. The second heaven, that's that gloriously starry sky at night. The third heaven, that's heaven that you and I want to go to. The first heaven we see by day. The second heaven we see by night. The third heaven we see by faith. Oh, glory to God. It's not some just mystical place in the sky. It's not some kind of dreamy imagination of dead men. Right now, there are conversations going on in heaven. Right now, there are people worshiping the Lord in heaven. Right now, there is interaction and communion in heaven. Loved ones that have gone on before, children that have separated from us in sorrow in this world, have gone on to a glory world where there's peace and joy and the presence of the living God. Right now, there are conversations in heaven about the goodness of the Lord and the grace and mercy of the Lamb. Glory to God. Friend, heaven is a present place. You mean right now? Right. It's an amazing thought. Right now. We're here, but that's going on right there. You ever been around people and say, hey, you remember where you were the day of 9/11? Well, I remember where I was, man. I was, you know, two separate places, but we can, two separate places right now. I'm here, they're there, but it's real. And by the way, there's only two places you'll ever find a child of God. Number one, on earth. Number two, in heaven. Not some kind of third state, you know, in between phase, crossing their finger, hope they did enough good in life to maybe Jesus will just wink at them and let them in on, you know, on good credit. No, that's not how it works. Friend, can I tell you, there'll be no sin that enters into that glory world. Your sin will either be pardoned by Jesus Christ or punished in hell. One of the two, that's the only options. But sin will not defile that glorious city. Somebody say amen. Heaven is a present place. 2 Corinthians 5:6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that which we are at home in the body, absent from the Lord. Amen. He also says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing to be rather absent from the body and present with the Lord. Amen. When a man leaves this old fleshly tabernacle, he goes to be with the Lord if he's born again. Right now. That's a glorious thought. I'd like to go to the rapture too. I got little kids I need to raise, so you know what I mean? I want to go, but I got responsibilities. But I'm telling you, I know what them old timers starting to say. There's more I got going for over there than over here. And every day I turn around in this wicked world and I say, even so, Lord, come quickly and rescue us out of here. Friend, the certainty of heaven, remember this, it is a present place. It is a perfect place. Now, we cannot fully get our hands around that concept. Because for the most part, our world works on problems. All right? The reason most of us have a job is somebody else has got a problem. All right? Hello, you know, Mr. Metzger, I've got a fire out in my front yard. Can the police department, can the fire department come? You know what I'm saying? Problem solutions. You know, something's wrong. You know, you got to get this fixed. Thank God. And thank God for problems or we'd all be unemployed, right? You know? Now, I can't understand this, but in heaven, it ain't going to be like that. They'll be thinking, and I'll get into this, but it's not as if it's going to be a world filled with chaos like it is here. Listen what Scripture says in Revelation 21 and verse 4. God wipes away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain. The former things are passed away. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more doctors saying we think we found a spot, no more epidemics, no more pandemics, no more government mandates outside that will worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, and that'll be something we'll be willing to do. Beloved, there'll be no more controversies, no more conspiracies. No more of those things. It'll be a place of peace. It'll be a place of joy. Amen. It'll be a place of beauty. It'll be a place of rest. There'll never be a child that dies to leukemia. There'll never be a grandparent that dies because of a sugar diabetes. All those things will be passed away. I had a student ask, Brother Estes, what do you think heaven will be like? And the only my answer I could give him is what I heard an elderly man say to me. So I pass this on to you today. What do you think heaven would be like, sir? The older gentleman says back, everything the mind of God can conceive and the hand of God can construct, that'll be heaven. Oh, God. It is as if, Brother Nathan, you step back and say to God, what's the best you can do? Great God. And everything his mind can conceive and everything his hand can destroy. Right. It'll be glorious. Now, come on here. Now, listen, friend. Now, I don't have time to get, I'm telling you what, I'm getting some rabbit trails this morning. We talking about 1,500 square, 1,500 square, 1,500 high. Thank God I've had people say before, well, man, what if we run out of room? Well, don't worry. That's just the capital city. We don't know how far. We don't know how much. Thank you, Jesus. We don't know how it's all going to be, but I can tell us one thing. It will be glorious. It will be glorious. You don't want to miss it. Heaven is going to be a perfect place. Heaven's going to be a present place. Can I also say this? Heaven's going to be a purposeful place. Okay, don't ever get the idea. Heaven is going to be you, your undersized cloud, your rusty little halo, your out-of-tune harp. That ain't heaven. If anything, that's Hollywood. God help us, if you're getting your theology from Hollywood, you need to get born again. Okay, that's not heaven. That's not heaven. Two things that'll earmark heaven. Number one, worship. Number two, work. I don't like worship and I don't like work. Well, then you ain't gonna like heaven. Sorry. Come on here. I'm sorry, you guys. Now, I know, don't get me wrong. Brother Estes, I love to work, but man, all authors, he's got the better of me now. My knees ain't what they were. My elbow can't. Can I tell you, thank God there's going to be a resurrected body. And here's the amazing thing. God gives you something to do. God gives you the ability to do it. And then God rewards you once you've done it. You can't beat that kind of deal. Say amen. It's God that gives you the ability. And the Lord has a task for you and me. It's not sitting around twiddling our thumbs. It is both worship and it is work. And the Lord enables you. He enables you to do it. I don't exactly know what that means. I don't exactly know how that all fits into place. But thank God he's got something for us to do. Right. He gives us the ability. He gives us these glorified bodies. There again, it's not just simply this what we see here. I mean, Jesus, you need me to open up that door for you? Jesus says, no, I got this. Goes through that wall. Glorified bodies. Now, can I also, real time out, can I also say this about glorified bodies? Brother says, what's the glorified body going to be like? Oh, here's my best, deepest theological response. You ready? I don't know. I mean, you know, you get to take off a few pounds, you know, get to rub out a few wrinkles, hopefully, you know. You know, I don't know. In fact, I love it. People I say, okay, now, Brother Estes, this is a difficult question. Okay. A man is born in Texas. loses a finger in Vietnam, comes back, settles down in Montana, gets eaten by a bear. The bear takes off 3/4 of what's left. A wolf gets a leg and drags it over to Idaho, you know? By the way, this is a true story. Just kidding. That's not true. Just kidding. You're from Kentucky. You hear these kind of frightening tales, though. I'm telling you, man. I'm trying to be an ambassador for you guys and say, no, they're not that wild. They're good people. Okay, Brother Estes, how does that body raise from the dead? I don't know. I have no idea. But then I always ask my students the same thing. Okay, I don't have an answer, but I need you to answer me this. Are you the same person you were when you were a baby? Are you? You are? No? You're not? Or you are? You're not? You have a different DNA structure? So you are, but you're not. But you are, but you're not, but you are, but you're not. You know, we just take it for granted. We turn from that to this. Hallelujah. I don't know, well, the seal split. You don't understand what's going on there. Only God can do something like that. How does he take a baby and turn it into a full grown? You know, we don't say, I don't know how that's going to happen. It just happens, doesn't it? Amen. We can try to say, well, this splits and this repeats, and God knows how to do it. And let me tell you, if he can turn a baby into a grown man, he can take a dead body and raise it from the grave and give it a glorified body. Somebody say amen. I don't have to understand it to fully believe it. Amen. Here we're in glorified bodies. We look, Brother Johnson, looking good, bro. Brother Estes, not so bad yourself, son. That's right. Glorified. And then we see Jesus. Now there's something unique about his glorified body. I say this humbly, but I've been about all over this world. I've seen all types of man-made idols. I've seen them there in Africa with those grotesque faces. I've seen them in Latin America. Sometimes they dress them up suit and tie. And, you know, like sometimes they'll have a big flat hand where some mom will come and supposed to put money into that little false god's hand. And you see them as they hold their babies and they'll tug on that false god and they'll say, please look at my child. Please heal my child. But he has eyes to see, but he doesn't see. He has ears to hear, but he does not hear. He has hands to feel, but he will not touch. It's an idol. But the one thing I can say true about every idol I've ever seen, they always make their idols the best they can. I never see an idol purposely scarred or wounded. You're there in Vietnam. They've got little Buddha idols almost everywhere. Every morning they get little offerings to their Buddha idols. They just come and bring them offerings. But they're perfect as they can be. And here's the unique thing about my God. He has scars and wounds. The only trophy he brings back to heaven are wounds. The only souvenirs he has are scars. Throughout eternity, we'll have glorified bodies. And yet the one we worship has wounds and scars. Oh, can you imagine? Ever to remind us of the love, ever to remind us of the price, ever to remind us of what he was willing to do for mankind, that where we are, where he is, there we may be as well. He reminds us of his love. He reminds us of his goodness. He reminds us that heaven is a present place. It is a perfect place. It is a purposeful place. Hallelujah. God will have a place for you there. Amen. If you surrender to him here. Friend, heaven is a certain place. Look at the certainty of heaven, but also notice the company of heaven. And I will dwell, listen, in the house of the Lord. Literally in Hebrew, it reads the household of the Lord. David says, I'm going to be around some pretty good folk. This is my family. This is my household. These are my kids would say peeps. These are my people. This is my folk. These are the people I like to fellowship with. I'm telling you what, man, we was years ago going down the road, and I think it was Annalise, and isn't it great to have a 12-hour trip and a child with a stomach bug, huh? Exciting times in the Estes family. And when you're going through downtown Atlanta and a kid looks and says, Dad, I gotta go, you know, and you immediately Google gas station near me. with a functioning bathroom. Thank you. And man, we pull in downtown Atlanta. Thank God she's able to, you know, she starts feeling better after that. But man, I'm sitting there, I'm looking around, and I kid you not, people start coming out of the ditches, coming right up to us, you know. What that one man say? He said, man, I got the Holy Ghost, but I cut you, man. But I didn't say that. I'm praying for him. I said, oh, God, protect me and my family. God, protect me and my family. God, protect me and my family. A little bit of frightening times there. I did have one, and I knew, Brother George, I knew he was demon-possessed. I knew. I said, that man's demon-possessed. Look at him. It's odd. He comes up to me, and when he comes up to me, you know what he says? He says, God's a good God. He's a good God. God's a good, good God. He's good. Maybe think of that demon-possessed man come up and started worshiping Jesus. I said, Jesus is a good God. He's a mighty good God. The man turned right around and left. Interesting. Interesting. But there's places you go, you know, I'm in danger here. I'm in danger. And that, friend, you'll never have to worry about that in heaven. Amen. Can I tell you, thank God, here's one of the glorious things about being, you're going to be with them. You're going to be with saints of old. That's right. You're, can you imagine? You go down that road. Help me, Brother George, stand. Help me. Okay. All of a sudden, you're walking down in the streets and you look over and you go, Isaiah. Yeah. I've read all your books. Yeah. Maybe not the selfie. You say, brother, that's just, that can't happen. That will happen. That will happen. It's going to be a glorious thing. Amen. You walk down the road. Can you imagine? I mean, you're standing there and you look at one man. You say, no. When did you live? So well, I was from the 1700s. I was actually a missionary there to the Hebrides Island. I began to preach the message of Jesus, and they took my body and threw it out to the sharks, and I was eaten quickly by the sharks out there. There was a bit of pain, and then I woke up in his likeness. So, now tell me, how did you suffer for Jesus? Someone gave me a negative comment on Facebook one time. You know, he says, hey, come on here. Our suffering compared to their suffering is a little different. Hey, guys, we better get with some stories or we're going to be out of place in heaven. You know what I'm saying? Just because somebody defriended you from being a Christian, that didn't mean you suffered for Jesus. I'm sorry. You're going to be with them. Look, look. He's from 1452. Look, there's one of the original 12. Here's an extra thought. Now, I don't have time to get in all this detail with this. Mercy knows. Oh, I love this. Because you, by God's providence, are born in the age you're born in right now, you are a part of the church, the bride, the beautiful bride of Christ. Now think about this. There's Old Testament, intertestamental saints. There's tribulation saints. There's even going to be millennial saints. Now there'll be, if somebody dies at 100, we'll say, boy, that was a kid, but there'll still be millennial people. They'll die during that millennial reign. Saints of God, born again. But you and I live in this unique time known as the church. We're not Old Testament saints. We're not tribulation saints. We're the bride. Jesus says this. See John the Baptist? Not a greater man ever lived. Nevertheless, least in the kingdom of God's greater than him. What does that mean, Jesus? What do you tell? So is he great or is he not great? No. It's not that he hasn't done great things. It's for the unique place you serve as the bride of Christ. Now, Lord willing, when we leave here, of course, we've got to get to Oklahoma, but we're going to try to take a day and see some dear friends down in Colorado. They used to live just 10 minutes away from us there where we live in Elizabethtown, and he was a blueberry farmer. Brother Schmidt, German name there. Schmidt, I'll tell him where he comes from. Metzger. And I could ask Brother Schmidt anything about, but he's amazing when it comes to blueberries. Okay, how much acidity do I need? What's my pH? When do I need to prune them? What type of blueberry is this? What zone do I need? Any question. Now, the man knows blueberries. He is so educated. He is so accomplished in blueberries. And at the end of the day, you know what I do? I shake his hand and say, thank you for the great work you do. Then you see that little girl sitting back there on that pew, Erica? I hold her hand. Say, let's go to the house, babe. It's my bride. Yeah. Now, it's not that he's not more intelligent in some areas, because I could ask Erica, honey, what about the blueberry? And she's like, oh, what do you think, honey? But she's my bride. Can you imagine? Here's John the Baptist. And we say, John the Baptist is amazing. And he looks back at you and says, yes, but I perceive you're part of the bride. Welcome to heaven. Oh, no. I haven't nearly. No. Just for the position that you hold as his bride. There's a closeness that we have. Oh, my great God. There's a closeness that we have, an intimacy that we share with him all of eternity. And but can I tell you, we talk about the grace of God. We have no idea what that really, we say, God, I do not deserve this. Look at these great men. And he says, yes, but you're my bride. You come with me. You're close to me. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the hope of heaven that awaits for us. Friend, the company of heaven not only speaks of them, thank God, the company of heaven speaks of him. We shall look upon his face. One who died, who saved us by his grace. As David said, I shall awake in his likeness. I shall awake in his likeness. Listen to this scripture. I'm going to give one more point and I'll come to a close. Isaiah 33:17. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. That's the promise of heaven to you and me, friend. And I close with this morning. Sister Estes, can you help me, please? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The certainty of it, the company of it, the consistency. Not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, but for eternity. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sheep are naturally nomadic. They are constantly wandering. They never seem to settle down. Friend, can I tell you, God put that same thing inside of you and me to let us know this is not our final resting place. Oh, I'm telling you, even as Brother Johnson said this morning, mansions prepared for you and me. And God's a good God. He knows how to give good things to his children. It'll even be fancy toward your own likings. What a thought. Friend, one day, heaven's going to be a reality. And all the troubles and trials that you're faced with right now, friend, can I tell you, it's not worth you turning around. I don't care if you've been saved 3 days. I don't care if you've been saved 30 years. You'll find a resting place in heaven. I know this world, I'm not going there, but I guess I am. I mean, they talk about they're willing to accept everybody, and as soon as they step on somebody's lawn that they don't want them in, they'll ship them off to some other place. You'll never fill out a place in heaven. Right, amen. There'll never be a time somebody's there just long enough to take a picture with you and move you on. No.
That's right, come on.
That's my home.
Amen.
That's my people.
That's my home.
And they say, welcome, bride.
Amen, amen.
Welcome, child. Enter in.
Come on.
The joys are yours.
Right.
Now, Brother Metzger spoke about in Bible school, he heard that man said, I just want to barely get in and let the door slam, but that's not God's will for us. And he brought that out so well. Here is God's will for you, to come in with an abundant entrance. To come in with an entrance wide, fair, glorious. What God wants you to live is a life so dedicated to him here that when you step over there, people begin to clap.
Hallelujah.
And say, welcome home.
Amen.
Child of God.
Amen.
Welcome home. Well done. Flags waving. Father honored in the presence of God forever and ever. Sister Estes, you can start anytime. So I close with this, and I close our small part of this conference with this. I may have shared this, but I feel like sharing this again. Years ago, there was a pastor there in the South. His name was Robert G. Lee. He was actually the pastor of Bellevue Church there in Memphis. And the man said when he was just a small boy, he asked his mother, he said, Mom, what's the happiest memory that you have in life? And she said, well, Bobby, she said, it was back when I was just a little girl about your age. And we were sitting on the porch with my mother and we were holding those peas out. And she said, you have to understand. She said, we got a letter a month or two before. It was that terrible time when our states were at war with one another. We received the letter that Dad had died in battle. And she said, Mom did okay. She said she did fair during the day, but oh, at night. Oh, the weeping. Oh, the mourning. I could hear as Mom would take that pillow and push it in her face and yet cry and weep. And she said, I'd be downstairs and I'd pray, oh, please, God, help Mama. Please, God, help Mama. One of those days where we're sitting on that front porch holding out those peas, Mama rocking in that chair. I'm sitting down there on that. She said, Mom looked over in that distance across that hill. And she said, Elizabeth, I declare that man walks like your daddy walked. And I looked up at Mama and I said, Mama, don't do that. Don't do that, Mama. Don't do that. It's only going to make it worse. And then she said, Elizabeth, that man looks like your daddy. Before I could say, Mom, don't do that, Mom took all those peas and Mom threw them as far as could and said, Elizabeth, it is your daddy. She said, Mom, run as fast as she could up that hill. She said, I heist my skirt. I couldn't run as fast as Mom, but I did all I could. There over that hill walking toward us was my dad, an empty sleeve. He had been wounded, but he had not died. She said, Dad was a very tall man. Dad was a very handsome man. And when Mom came to him, he said, he held her. And then he kissed her. With that other half arm, he reached down and I crawled up to him. And there we were together. My dad, my mom, and me. And she said, I do believe that was the happiest memory of my life. One day in heaven, Brother Johnson, you're going to look up that hill. You're going to say, I declare that man, that looks just... It is. Oh, it's him. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. Grandpa Davis looks back and says, I know, son. It's you too. Heaven. It's going to be worth it when we get there. Church, one last time, can we slip our hands up to heaven and can we give him thanks for the praise and the promises of God? One day we're going to look across that glory world. And we'll see loved ones that have gone on before. They will not be weary. The youthful glow of age will not be diminished from them. They will be radiant. They will be beautiful. They will be everlasting. Friends, so the best thing I can say to us today, if you don't know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, right now, today, is the day to make it right with God. If you don't know that you're ready to meet the Lord, I'm telling you, there's nothing and nobody worth you missing heaven over. It's a certain place. It's a consistent place. And oh, the company will be so close. Why would anybody trade this old, trade that for this old world? Father, we come to you this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, our hearts are open. I'm asking you that you would deal with us all across this house. Lord, if there be anything in any way, in any shape that would keep us from being ready with the Lord, I pray, purge our hearts today. Take it out. Get it out. Replace it with your divine fire and love. Let your glory, God, saturate our spirit again. I thank you for all you've done this week. I thank you, God, for information you've relayed to our lives. But all of that means nothing if we miss heaven. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, take everything we've said this week
compile it for one purpose, that we would be obedient servants, lovingly doing your will, surrender to your ways, ready for you to come again.